This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan, Noel and Chuang, and we're entering day three of the movement control order. And day wage earners, gig workers and small business owners will certainly be taking a hit as all non-essential services are shut down and people are ordered to stay at home.
Most of the activity, if you observe on the empty roads, are the motorcyclists, the e-hailing riders, delivering food takeaways, Foodpanda, GrabFood. So business may be brisk for them, but concerns have also been raised about whether there is enough being done to protect them from the coronavirus exposure.
Yes, but other e-hailing drivers, however, are left in the lurch during this period as passengers are scarce, yet debts and cost of living pressures remain. So joining us on the line for a perspective here is Daryl Chong, chairman of the Malaysian E-Hailing Drivers Association. Daryl, thank you for joining us on the line this morning. How have e-hailing drivers been impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak and the movement control order?
Okay, morning everyone. As we know, the government has asked everyone to stay at home. Due to this, the requests, or rather the rights, have been so much lesser. Our drivers are getting so much lesser requests on the road. And I'm looking at around 30 to maybe 50% in lesser rights.
So, well, okay. So in terms of the e-hailing drivers, they are seeing less rights. But what about the food delivery people? I mean, they are very noticeable, but are they seeing an uptick in business?
Okay, from what I understand, on the contrary, the food delivery guys are getting more business because as more people stay home, they tend to order takeaways. They tend to order in. So for them, their business has increased. It's much better for them.
So what is the association doing to assist your drivers who are not getting as many calls as before?
Okay, one of the things we're doing is we are trying to get supplies for them, things like sanitizers and masks at a reduced price. Most of it we are selling to them at cost. And at the same time, we hope that the e-hailing operators will actually reduce the commission taken from the drivers during these 2 weeks. This is from the, and also at the same time, we hope that because over in Singapore, the e-hailing operators are actually giving away care kits to these drivers, which consists of sanitizers and also face masks.
And are drivers or riders receiving any help or protection from the platforms themselves? I think you've mentioned Singapore. What more can be done from, aside the commission, the change in commission, what else can be done from the platforms themselves?
Okay, we hope that the e-hailing operators will, because some of them actually rent out cars to the drivers, we hope that during this period, they will allow the drivers to defer their payment. And most importantly, I believe, is the commission. That is very important, to take lesser commission during this period.
All right, and outside the scarce amount of riders, what are the other key concerns for e-hailing drivers right now? Based on what you just said, are loans a cause of concern for them on the cars they've taken out?
Yeah. In fact, that is what we want the government to assist, in the sense that allow these drivers to actually defer their payment on their loans, be it mortgage, higher purchase, or maybe personal financing. But I was made to understand yesterday that certain banks are already doing so.
Okay, so on the long-term basis, what can the government do in terms of social protection? Because I understand many of your members, they may only have something like 60% of them only have savings or barely have any savings.
Yeah, this is true. So first of all, maybe if it's possible, we would like these drivers to be allowed to withdraw some money from their second account in the EPF.
But they may not even be contributing to EPF and their account.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they may not be contributing, but those who qualify, because a lot of them were actually working prior to joining the gig industry. And secondly, on the 27th of February, the government actually announced a stimulus package, which was meant for the taxi drivers, the beca poolers, but none was for the e-hailing drivers. We hope to be able to be given this 600 ringgit one-off payment as well.
All right, Daryl, thank you for joining us on the line this morning. That was Daryl Chong, chairman of the Malaysian E-Hailing Drivers Association, breaking down what the concerns for the e-hailing drivers. I think clearly they've been impacted by this. Anyone who looks outside their window can tell that ridership or even cars on the road are scarce.
Well, this is a good opportunity for the platforms. When I say platforms, I mean the Foodpandas and the Grabs as well, to get constructive about these distressing times and to, I guess, put together a template for future use. For example, we have to remember these guys, these platforms, they don't incur the capex to purchase the vehicles. They rely on other people's cars and individual vehicles to power their delivery platforms. So they've got to, I guess, in a way, get constructive and say, look, in these times, we can do this for you, because it's not going to last forever. People think it's, you know, we get stuck at the moment. COVID-19 is not going to be forever. And when things return to normalcy, the drivers will remember, the customers will remember how good they were, and they stood by the drivers. And it's very important to look after your people, because if they leave your platform, if they lose faith in you, they lose loyalty in your platform because you didn't treat them well, it's going to last a long time. And people have long memories in that regard.
I think in that sense, SOXO, I think I would like to see them playing a more proactive role and really expanding their coverage, not just to full-time employees, but also for freelance workers like them, right? And their EIS package, can the employment insurance system, whether you can cover part-time workers as well. So I think you know, all eyes should be on SOXO. What are you doing to increase your protection for people who are not currently under your coverage?
I think the definitions for SOXO have to be looked at as well, because if you lose your job, but what happens now, this interim period? It doesn't fall under any standard definition because it has never happened before.
Yeah, I think we were talking yesterday to a lawyer about this, and it is the current rules for employment still apply, right? Nothing's changed there. Employers need just cause to fire you. So if there isn't just cause, and the MCO isn't just cause, so you can take that up with the courts, the industrial, I think there's the labor court, there's the industrial relations court as well. So there are ways to go about this. But I think with the gig economy in particular, I think the center, which is a Malaysian think tank, did a study, and they found that on average, I think they earn about 3,000 ringgit a month, and with barely any social protection, and a lot of them, it was their full-time gig, not a part-time, I do grab in between my work hours.
Well, there's two parts of the equation when it comes to subsistence, right? First of all, it's your cost base, and second of all, it's your income base. If you can get all the stakeholders to participate in addressing the cost base, for example, your loans, your rentals, your cost of living expenses, your food bills, then you can kind of like have a good base from which to start. And I think the banks conceptually have it going in terms of the loan moratoriums. They've got to speed up approvals and get everybody approved so that they don't have to bear those monthly bills for now. And I think, of course, the government has stepped in with utilities with the Tenaga discount, but 2 to 15%, maybe not enough, right? Internet bills as well should also come down. Maybe telco bills should come down a little bit. Just kind of like a little holiday, like a little bill holiday for the six-month period. And then on the income side, if the government can step in with helicopter money, like what Donald Trump is proposing, $1,200 US a month, that's going to come in useful.
Speaking of helicopter money, Chuang, we've got a poll running on Twitter. How would you like your employer to support your mental wealth being during the movement control order? And right now, with 57 votes in, 56% have voted for monetary support, with 23% voting for duvet days, which is basically a sick day without any MC, and 18% have voted for paid professional support. This is something we'll be discussing a little later in the show, after the breakfast grill, which we are going to right now, actually, where Lynn Mark will be speaking to Carol Graham, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, about the science and happiness, the science of happiness economics, and how national well-being affects a country's prospects for economic growth, and what policies can promote both aspects in tandem. That's happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.